anywhere, anytime, for everyone. This is JRootRadio.com.
ברוכים הבאים. We here again in the show of Lecha Dodi. We here to speak about Parashat HaShavua, Parashat Pinchas. Parashat Pinchas starts off with the reward that Pinchas gets for doing the Kinat Hashem. As the Pasuk says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen השיב את חמתי מעל בני ישראל בקנאו את קנאתי בתוכם. But when I learned that Pasuk, I didn't understand. What does it mean, בתוכם? בקנאו את קנאתי בתוכם. He took away my revenge. He took away my kin'ah, jealousy, within them. What does it mean, betocham? Same pasuk we found, with the same idea, in the end of last week's parasha, parashat Balak, when we're talking about Pinchas taking his act against Zibui ben Salu and Kozbi Batsur. Over there, it says also such a word. It says over there, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Vayakom mitoch ha'edah. He rose from within the nation. What does it mean? What does it make a difference where he rose from? From within the nation, from his house, from outside his house, from outside the nation. What does it mean over here? In order to understand this correctly, we really have to go a little bit to the beginning of Parashat Balak. And with that, it's going to take us through the understanding of what Pinchas were coming from. And why is it that this is so much emphasized over here in our parasha, Parashat Pinchas, again, that it says, Betocham, Bekanot Kinati, Betocham. And the end of last week's parasha, that we said that what he did was Mitoch HaEda, Vayakom Mitoch HaEda. And that is the way Balak was dealing with the messengers that he sent, and how Bilam was viewing those messengers. So we found something very interesting in last week's parasha, in the beginning of last week's parasha, and that is that the messengers of Balak are called over here in so many different names. For instance, when you start off the parasha, it says, Vayishlach malachim el Bilam. He sent messengers to Bilam. Now malachim, sometimes the Torah calls malachim angels, and sometimes malachim are messengers. And really, if you want to know when is what, you take a look at the Unkelu. Sometimes Rashi mentions Malachim Mamash, or he says Shluchim. But over here, clearly, if you take a look, the Unkelu says, Ushlach Izgadin Levat Bilam Barbeo. So over here, Malachim Izgadin, which is the messengers. So the Malachim, those are the messengers of Balak, are called one time Malachim. Then, a couple of psukim afterwards, Vailchu Ziknei Moav, the elderly of Moav. Afterwards, Vayavo Elokim El Bilam, Mi Anashim Ha'ele Imach. Who are those people? Now they are called people. Later on, Pasuk after that, he tells him that he sent to me Melech Moav Shalach Elai. What did he send to me? Afterwards, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayakom Bilam Baboker, Vayomer El Sarei Balak. So they were called already Malachim. They were called Ziknei Moav. They were called Anashim. They were called over here Sarei Balak. And he keeps on going with Anashim and Sarei Moav later on in another few psukim. So many names, and we need to organize exactly what is happening over here. And when you take a look, you'll see that the Torah just doesn't shoot names without a deep meaning behind it. And take a look over here. The Torah says those words, each one, in a real reason behind it. And in the beginning, when we're talking about Malachim and Ziknei Moav, the Torah just wants to refer those people, what were they? So they were the messengers, so properly so, the Torah needs to say, Vashlach Malachim el Bilam. He sent messengers to Bilam. That was their mission, to give a message to Bilam. Who were those people? The Torah also has to describe to us, so we know that the Torah, that Balak didn't send just regular people, rather it was Ziknei Moav. Ziknei, every place in the Torah, means not old, rather the wise people. Like we say, Zaken ze shekana chokhmah. It's Nutrikon ze shekana chokhmah. Bnei seva takum ve'adarta pnei zaken. Mipnei seva takum means rise in front of an old person. So why do we need the zaken right afterwards, mipnei sevat akum ve'adarta pnei zaken. You told me already old. So why do you need zaken? Zaken, this says the Gemara, zaken means ze shekana chokhmah, person that bought, that acquired wisdom. Also here, ve'ilchu ziknei Moav, those wise people of Moav, the greatest people of Moav. And now, because of that, Bilam gets very excited when he sees such royal messengers from the kingdom of Balak. And therefore, he says to Hashem, you know who came to me? It's not regular people. Balak ben Tzippor sent to me. This is a royal crew of people that came over here to me as to honor me. It is very chashuv people that came to me. But when Hashem is talking to Balak, he doesn't look at that way at all. These are regular people. These are nobody important. Who are those regular people? Now, don't be mistaken that in Parashat Shelach, Rashi says, Kol anashim shebamikra lashon chashivut, that whenever the Torah says anashim, it means important people. Sifte Chachamim explains over there, only when the anashim is shem davar, which means this is their name, anashim, we're trying to give them a title. But when we're just referring to them as not their title, rather Shem Toar, that's not anymore the Anashim that we're talking about over here. This is simple people. So over here, the Siftei Chachamim would say that Anashim means regular simple people. They have no importance whatsoever. Vayomer Bilam el Elokim, Balak ben Tzippor melech Moav shalach el Hashem says, no, mi Anashim. So that's the conversation between Balak and Bilam, where Hashem asks Bilam and Elohim. When Hashem asks Bilam, mi anashim ha'ele imach, these are simple people, Bilam is not looking at that way at all. Ve'omer Bilam el Elohim, Balak ben Tzippor, melech Moav shalach elai. These people were sent to me by the royal kingdom of Balak. So later on, Hashem tells him, don't go. And Hashem changes his mind. Why is it that Hashem changes his mind? Hashem says to him, "V'omer Elokim el Bilam, lo telech imahem, lo ta'or et ha'am, ki baruchu." Don't go with them. Next thing you know, "Vayakom Bilam baboker, v'yomer el sarei valak." Again, Bilam is referring to those messengers as sarei valak, important people. Hashem refers to them as very simple people. So what happens? He tells them, "I can't go with you, the important people of Balak, sarei Balak. I can't go with you." Later, they come again. When they come again, Balak sends them secondly with more important people, as the Torah explains over here. And the Torah says, "Vayosefot Balak shloach sarim rabim venichbadim me'ele," even more important people from his place. And what is the reaction of Hashem again? "Vayavo Elokim el Bilam laila ve'amar lo im lekro lecha ba'u anashim." Kum lechitam, those people are regular people. Don't get excited from them. Don't be so excited from seeing those people. If you refer to them as anashim, as regular people, you can go with them. What is Balaam's reaction? Vayakom Bilam babokom v'chov oshet chamotono vayalechim sarei Moav. He's going with the ministers of Moav. He's going with the important people. He gives them chashivut. He gives them importance. So therefore, vayicharaf Elokim. It's a question over here. Pasuk before, Hashem tells him, go with them, no problem. You want to go with them? Go with them. So Balaam takes the opportunity and he goes. Hashem gets angry that he's going with them. Why does he get angry? You just told him you can go. Why are you getting angry? The answer is that Hashem says, if you look at them as anashim, you don't give them any importance, yes, you can go with them. But Bilam doesn't look at them that way. Vayakom Bilam baboker v'chavoshet ratono v'elechim sarei Moav. He looks at them as important people, as sarim of Moav. That's why Hashem is angry. Vayicharaf Elokim ki olechu. Hashem gets angry, you're going with the wrong people. That's not the people I told you to go with. I told you to go with them only if you look at them as regular, simple people. But if you look at people as something so important, that's not good. And the reason it's not good is very simple. Because since they want to come and ask you to do something that I'm not interested, it's called the Avera, sinning. Therefore, if you look at them as regular people, you're not going to fall in their trap. They're going to ask you to curse. You're not going to do that. You could go with them. Going with them is not no harm. But when you get there, make sure you don't curse them. That's what Hashem says. Hashem says, "Im likol lecha anashim lechim ahem." If all they want from you is to call you, you can go with them. But say only what I told you to say, what I would tell you to say. Don't say anything that I don't tell you to say. Bilam gets the message, you can go with them only if you refer to them as regular people. If you look at them as nobody important, then you can hold on to the fact that Hashem says one thing and you're not going to fall and do as they ask you, because they're not important to you. Hashem is what's important in your eyes. But if you look at those people as something that's admirable, as something that's very chashuv, something that you need to look up to, something, some people you have to very much respect, that's problematic, because as soon as they're going to ask you to do something over there, under pressure, you're going to fall and do what they say. And that's exactly what happens. Over here, when Hashem saw that he's not listening, he sent the Aton, and he told him, be careful. What was the purpose of the Aton? Since he got angry, Hashem got angry at Bilam. Why are you going with them if you're referring to them as important people? So what happens over here, right after he gets the message that you shouldn't go with them, with the Aton, and the Malach starts talking to Bilam, Vayomer, the Aton starts speaking, Vayomer alav Malach Hashem, al ma'ikita et Atoncha, ze shalosh regalim, hinei anochi yatzati lesatan, ki arat haderech lenegdi, and it starts rebuking Bilam. So what is the rebuke? What is the problem? Hashem gave me permission to go with them. The Malach Hashem explains to him, Vayomer Malach Hashem el Bilam, lech im ha'anashim. You should go with the people. You don't understand. You have to go with the people, not with somebody that you look at more than people, not as somebody you're going to admire, not as somebody you're going to give importance. Bilam hears that message, and what does he do right away? Vayomer Malach Hashem el Bilam, lech im ha'anashim, ואפס את הדבר אשר אדבר לך אותו תדבר, וילך בלעם עם שרי בלק. בלעם is not able. But בלעם sees them as שרי בלק, important people. He can't listen to that message that those are simple people. And therefore, because of that, he shouldn't have gone, and because of that, he fell into trying to curse Am Yisrael. And this is what's really happening in the end of the parasha. The end of parasha of last week, Ve'eshev Yisrael b'shitim ve'echel ha'am liznot el b'not Moav. Why did Am Yisrael fall in that sin? Chazal explained to us in Masechet Sanhedrin that Am Yisrael didn't have clothing for the whole 40 years. They wore one piece of cloth, and that was protected, heavenly protected, and they could have worn it, and it would not get damaged or old in any way. But when they came to Shittim, they saw over there what they did over there. The Moavim put stores after stores, like a flea market, one store after another store, that everybody should come and see what's there. What did they put for sale? One store after the other, they put clay pishtan, which means they put clothing. And Am Yisrael was so excited to see clothing, they went window shopping. They said, wow, look at these beautiful things. And from there, the Moavim said, Bnot Moav said, come in, you want to see the merchandise, come into the tent, we have more merchandise. They gave them wine to drink, and from there, a scene was very, very short to come. But what was the problem with going and doing what they're doing? Because they showed admiration to the merchandise that Moavim had to put. What did they put over there? All the new styles. Am Yisrael didn't have a style till now. They wore the same clothing, 40 years, that's it. All of a sudden, they realize there's something called style. Look at that. This shirt in this color, this pants in this color, this skirt in that color, look how nice it is. They put all kind of stylish clothing, and therefore Am Yisrael saw those things. They were very interested. And from there came the scene very, very easily to come and be Nimshach after Bnot Moav. And that is the reason over here that Am Yisrael were Nichshal. We can't have the admiration for the wrong things. Many times we admire the wrong things. We see sometimes some kind of person working and building a house. We see that you'll see Yeshiva Bochum sitting and looking at him, standing and looking at him with admiration. You see somebody doing like that, something like that. You don't look at it in admiration. What is there to admire so much? That's all he knows how to do. What we need to admire is a Yeshiva Bochum. What we need to admire is Rosh Yeshiva. What we need to admire is a rabbi, is a Gdol Ador. That's what we need to stand and look. I remember when Avshmuel Birnbaum was alive, there would be a bunch of Bachurim standing around him whenever he would talk to anybody, listening to every word he would say. This is something to admire. But not when you see something out there, you see somebody doing all kind of electric work, all kind of different work, and you're taking a look at it with such admiration. Nothing to look admiration at those things. And therefore, that is what the Torah is telling us over here. When you see new styles of clothing, don't be overly admiring of that. Nothing to be admired over here. You see a new phone that came into the market. Everybody's running to see it and admire it and look at it. Nothing to admire. Those are styles that don't mean anything. And therefore, Am Yisrael over here, since they admired those styles that Bnot Moav put for sale, easily afterwards were caught in the Avera. And that is where the Torah comes with Parashat Pinchas. Pinchas was exactly the opposite of that. What was Pinchas? The Torah says, Vayakom mitoch ha'eda. Pinchas rose from within the nation, which means Pinchas wasn't out there going window shopping for the new styles of different clothing, different phones, different things that the market has to sell you, that the store has to attract your eyes. Rather, he was mitoch ha'eda. He stayed home. He stayed in Bet Midrash. He stayed within the nation. He wasn't going outside looking what the goyim has to offer us. And that is the reason he saw the things correctly. And that is the reason that Hashem says he would get Beriti Shalom. Why is that? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen Eshiv et Chamati Me'al Bnei Yisrael Bekano et Kinati Betocham. Betocham velo chiliti et Bnei Yisrael Bekinati. What is this word Betocham has to do with over here, we asked. And the answer is, because at that generation, at that time, when people of Am Yisrael came close to the Moavim, to Eretz Yisrael, where they saw all kind of different goyim around that had all kind of new things to offer and show off, Am Yisrael saw those things and they were nimshach after it. They were caught by it. And since they were caught by it, many of them sinned. But Pinchas wasn't like that at all. Pinchas was betocham, mitoch, as we said in the previous pasuk, mitoch ha'edah. He was betocham. He was within Am Yisrael. He didn't look at all at what the goyim has to offer. And because of that, he wasn't sinning and he was doing the right thing. And Hashem rewarded him with Lachen Emor, Hineni Noten Lo et Beriti Shalom. This is the parasha, Parashat Pinchas. Be'ezrat Hashem, after the following song, we'll go into the halachot of Ben HaMetzarim. Yom shekulo shavos umnucha lecha yeyolamim. Tzeyeschem shalom, malachei shalom, malachei elyon, malachei elyon. Malachei Amlachim HaKadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh.
Eloika ishi, alti chahaini, oi viya alta zaini, Eloika ishi, Eloika ishi, kiyo viviimi, azuvini, azuvini, vashem, vashem. Yes, by me, ahoy, kiyo, vivi, mi, azuvini, azuvini, vashem, vashem, yes, by me.
Okay, we're here to speak about Halachot Ben HaMetzarim, that many people have the wrong ideas when it comes to that Halachot. And we come to see what the Poskim have to say about this time, especially starting Yudzayin Betamuz, where we're holding by, and then we'll take it to the Chodesh Av, where the Halacha says that Meshinichnas Av Mematim Besimcha, and the Magen Avraham brought down in Mishnah Berurah says En Smechim Boklal. This is how Tosfot learns in Masechet Megillah. En Smechim Boklal. One doesn't have any Simcha. But that starts only on Rosh Chodesh Av. Before Rosh Chodesh Av, there's few things that Am Yisrael were mekabel on themselves as a minhag. Not the Gemara doesn't speak of anything before Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av, according to the Gemara, that's when things actually start. This is when the laws and restrictions actually start. Some of them starts from Rosh Chodesh Av, some from afterwards, some from Shavua Shechalbo, and some things only on Tisha B'Av itself, but not from Yudzayin B'Tamuz. Yudzayin B'Tamuz is mostly all Minhagim, and therefore you'll find interesting that many of the things that are asur in people's eyes, really when you take a look at the halacha, many of those things will be mutar, especially if you are a Sfaradi. Sfaradim have much more leniencies at this time than Ashkenazim. We'll just mention a few of them. Sfaradim minhag is to get married until Rosh Chodesh Av. That's when person stops. Ashkenazim already start from Yudzayin B'Tamuz, the whole Ben HaMetzarim, and they don't get married at that time. This is halacha that's brought down in Tafkuf Nun Aleph Seif Bet. Although the Menishchai says that also Armin Hag is to be machmir from Yudzayin B'Tamuz, but Gdolei Poskim Achonim, like Chacham Ovadia and Or Letzion and many others, say that no, a person could get married until beginning of Chodesh Av, and it's very important that one should try to get married beforehand and not to delay, because it's a big mitzvah to get married, and there could be a lot of different michsholim if one doesn't get married, and then he has to look for a hall, and it's, you know, it's hard already to find a place, and it's going to be delayed and stretched. So therefore, the earlier to get that mitzvah, the better. That's one thing, weddings. Another thing that we found, machloket Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, and that is buying clothing. Again, that the minhag of not buying clothing, that is only by the Ashkenazim. Sfaradim don't have such a minhag until later on in Chodesh Av. But from Yizayin Betamuz, Sfaradi could buy whatever he wants, and therefore, only Ashkenazim would be machmir on that. Thirdly, not taking a haircut. We found that the Shulchan Aruch says not to take a haircut. But when is he speaking about? When is the restriction start? He says, Tisporet Shavua Ze Echad Rosho Ve'Echad Kol Se'ar Shebo Asur, which means only Shavua Shechalbo. So therefore, according to Sfaradim, Sfaradim can shave up to Shavua Shechalbo. Masha'en can Ashkenazim already start from Yudzayin Betamuz, not shaving and not taking a haircut and so on. So here's a third thing that Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, or fourth thing already, that Sfaradim and Ashkenazim have such a machloket on that they don't keep it by the Sfaradim in Hag. What we do found that's the same by Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, those are the minagim of not listening to music, as we're going to explain soon, and also the bracha of Shechrianu, trying to restrict that bracha and not say it, and also be very careful not to go into dangerous places. This is a time one needs to be careful going to places that might be a little dangerous, as we're going to explain right now, all in detail. So Be'ezrat Hashem, let's start with the music, because this is something that people feel that it's really very hard on them. They feel that such not listening to music is something that they can't bear so much. So let's get into that halakha and see exactly what's mutar and what's asur. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't bring down at all this halakha that one shouldn't listen to music. It's not brought down, not in the Gemara, not in Chazal, not in the Shulchan Aruch. The only time that it started such an idea was the Magen Avraham in Sif Katan Yud in Tafkuf Nun Aleph, that he says that one should restrict himself from Rikudim u'mecholot. Rikudim u'mecholot is explained, Rikudim as dancing by yourself, Mecholot is dancing as a circle with other people. That is what the Magen Avraham says one should restrict. Some wanted to learn from that Magen Avraham that maybe we also should restrict music, and that's how the Minhag starts. Others say that no, it doesn't say that Magen Avraham music. Rather, it says something like jumping as a dance. This is much more, brings you much more simcha than music, and therefore music shouldn't be asur because of that. Rather, it's just a minhag. This is the way Am Yisrael accepted in every place, that minhag, not to listen and not to hear music. Now, what goes under that isur of listening to music? It's very interesting that the Achronim bring that music doesn't mean only live music. It means also music from a tape recorder, from a radio, all those kinds of music. When you hear something with music instruments, it should be asur. There's discussion over the a cappella, which really you don't find anybody that permits if it has vocal cords behind the scenes. Why? Because since the idea of music is to have simcha, and one should restrict having simcha, and therefore, if you're making the same effect of simcha by doing a cappella, that's not any difference than you doing musical instruments. It's also the same idea. And therefore, a cappella with musical instruments sounds is problematic, especially that those sounds are not only vocal. Rather, they take it and they modify it on the computer. And therefore, it becomes to be exactly like those instruments, like drums and like guitar and like piano. And although it's somebody's doing it, but since it was modified in the computer, that's not anymore the person's voice itself. And not only that, they take it and they repeat it over and over again behind the person singing. And therefore, such a thing is not mutar. Not only that, even just vocal cords, we found the machloket. Although there are those that say that without vocal cords, it would be maybe mutar, just to have such a sound of somebody singing by itself and without anybody making the vocal cords as musical instruments. But You have those that would restrict that as well. Like, for instance, the Shevet HaLevi, he says that when you have such a thing, also Rav Eliashiv says like that, when you have such a thing that somebody's singing, if you heard it from him straight, alive, so that's just a person singing. But once you hear it on a tape, once you hear it on any kind of instrument, that becomes just like a regular musical instrument. What's the difference if you're hearing it from a computer or you're hearing it from a tape? That's all musical instruments. So you heard the person, it's much worse than hearing him alive, hearing him on the tape. Because on the tape, it already becomes musical instrument. Not everybody agreed to such a thing. That already more accepted to be Mekel. But when you don't have any vocal cords of musical instruments, sounds behind the scene, behind the singer. And therefore, let's get to some of the things that we see that the poskim say about music. And you find that although normally people are machmir on all kinds of things, but there are many places that one could be lenient, as it's brought down in the Sefer Kovetz Halachot. Like, for instance, if a person is learning how to play a musical instrument, so on that we found the machloket, if you're allowed to learn and practice on Ben HaMetzarim. And some would say that you shouldn't learn. Moshe, for instance, he says that one is allowed to learn only if the purpose of it is to get the profession in order to get parnasah. You want eventually to go out there and you want to play in weddings, in bar mitzvah, you want to get parnasah. So therefore, the purpose for that is parnasah. Therefore, you're learning over here, not a way of, your playing is not something that brings you simcha, because you're learning in order to know how to do it correctly, to play it out. So it's really part of a job that you're taking right now, and you have to practice and you have to learn. So therefore, Rav Moshe says, if that is your intention, you'll be mutar. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky says that regardless, and whenever you are practicing and not singing or not playing for just having, just entertaining yourself, such a thing would be mutar, and he allows such a thing. Also, another thing that you find as a kula, and that is that whenever you have a camp, and over there you have little kids, so many times if the kids under the age of chinuch, which is about the age of 6, 7, some feel that it's a little bit older than that, 8, 9, that's Rashi's opinion, but let's take the normal mekubal age, which is around 7, if you have kids younger than that, you're allowed to play them music in order to keep them entertained. Also the same thing by the house. A mother that wants the kids to get busy with the music, she can't have them fighting all day, she can't have them bored, she puts for them some kind of music for kids. That's not the music that we are osel, because that doesn't bring you simcha at all. You hear it over and over and over again. It's not music that brings you simcha in any way. You're putting it for the little kids, that's fine. As long as your intention is not to enjoy the music for yourself, that's mutar. When it becomes already age of chinuch, one should start restricting that as well. If a person is doing exercise without music, he wouldn't able to do the same exercise. He doesn't move. So therefore, also that we found in the Sefer that we mentioned, Kovetz Halachot, that one is allowed to exercise with the music, since the music over there is not in any way in order to enjoy and have a good time. Rather, in order to keep him moving in the pace and not falling asleep or not starting to slow down, such a thing would be mutar. Same thing when a person drives a car and he sees that he might fall asleep. Music can keep him up, definitely for safety. Such a thing would be mutar. What we're not allowing is, as we said before, any music that the intention behind it is to have a good time. That kind of music one should restrict. So therefore, according to that, many times a person would have workers around the house, or he would go to a store, he would go to a doctor office, he would go into the bus, and the place over there is playing music. You go into a store and you hear them playing music. Go into a taxi and the taxi driver puts his music. Can you have that music on? We said that it's allowed. Why? Because the intention is not to benefit from it. And obviously you have to try not to benefit and enjoy that music. And when you do not enjoy that, you don't pay attention to it. Therefore, such a thing is not restricted, is not a zoo. And because of that, if you have the workers around the house and they put the music on, you don't have to ask them to shut it off. When you go into a taxi, you don't have to ask him to shut it off, because such a thing not necessarily is done for your benefit. Some say the Eshel Avraham brings down the Eshel Avraham Buchach because Jewish people don't enjoy this kind of music. You put a Goyish music, a Jew doesn't enjoy such music. That's one thing. And in the Sefer of Kovetz Ha'arot, it brings down from Shmuel Kamenetsky that it's mutar for a different reason, and that is what we explained before. Since the only things that are asur is things that you have ana'ah. You have to have ana'ah in order to restrict it. Over here, you don't benefit from it, and you don't pay attention to it. The Gemara says in Psachim that whenever you go a certain way and there's a smell of Avodah Zarah that comes out, such a thing you can keep on going according to Abaye that we posek al halak, that since you don't mean to benefit from it, although it comes to your nose, although you're smelling it, but you're not in any way meaning to benefit from it, you can keep on going there without any hesitation. And that is nogea to so many things over here as well, that since the music over here doesn't come to benefit you in any way, such a thing would be mutar. We found very interesting, She'arim Mitzuyanim Ba'alacha, that he says that when you hear the radio, for instance, and between one thing and another, you'll hear some kind of music, such a thing would be mutar, he says. Dazlinan Batar of Tashmisho. This is the words that he uses in Siman Kuf Chaf Vav. He says the radio that constantly just puts you chadashot, divrei mischar, you hear all kind of things, talk, all kind of talk on the radio, but between one thing and another, there's also musical instruments. Ben davar ledavar mashmir gam shirim al klei shir, ve'i efshar letzamtzem. What are you going to do? You know when to stop and when not. So can you have it on and just have that music in between? He says that since this is the minority of the radio broadcasting, you go and you follow the majority of the time, which is normally done for talk and not for music. That's the etel from She'arim Mitzuyanim Ba'alacha, which means, now it doesn't mean over here, I think, that they put you a whole song. Rather, they put some kind of music of few seconds between one thing and another. So you hear that music, for instance, before you hear the news, there's a little bit like a tune. That tune, are you allowed to have on, or you have to shut it off? He says, no, don't worry about it. That's Yef Charlotte Tzamtzem, and Azlino Batar of Tashmisho. Don't worry about it, it's fine. The same idea you would find that if one puts some kind of story tape for his kids, and we're talking now kids that are over the age of Chinuch, that we said that should be restricted from hearing music, but within that music, in that story tape, between one story and another story, also, they put some kind of tune in between, that's also fine. One is allowed to do that, unless it's a whole song. Then you should skip it. Also, sometimes in the background, you would hear some kind of low tune while the story is going. Such a thing also would be allowed, because that's already so minor and you don't have to, it's not really meant for simcha. You just like to give it a little bit more taste into the story. Such a thing would be mutar. How about when one goes to a wedding we said that right now, in this time, Sfaradim get married. Until Rosh Chodesh Av, they get married. Ashkenazim don't. Can Ashkenazi go to a Sfaradi wedding when they dance over there and when they hear and they put the music? So on that, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, and Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky brings down as well, that it's mutar for Ashkenazi to go for a Sfaradi wedding. Since they do it beheter, Ashkenazi can go there as well and participate in the wedding, although there's music over there. He wants to restrict that maybe you shouldn't dance with the music, but the tzadim to be mekel in that as well, that Ashkenazi could be dancing with the music of the Sfaradi Chatan that she's just getting married right now. One is allowed to do such a thing. This is basically summarizes what we needed to know about music. When we go to the next thing, can we get married, which we just spoke right now, and we said that Ashkenazim already start not getting married from Yuzayin Betamuz, Sfaradim later on Tisha B'Av. Over here, Rosh Chodesh Av. Over here, Rosh Chodesh Av means Rosh Chodesh Av, which means Sfaradim don't get married on Rosh Chodesh Av as well. Unlike Basar Ve'Yayin. Now, on that, we found that Sfaradim could be Mekel, Racham Ovadia says, to eat Basar and to drink wine on Rosh Chodesh itself, and only to restrict it the day after. Unlike Ashkenazim, that start on Rosh Chodesh itself, and they don't eat meat, and they don't drink wine. But, although Sfaradim could be Mekel on Rosh Chodesh for Basar and Yain, on weddings, they're already Machmir on Rosh Chodesh itself, and therefore that would be something that we found a different for Sfaradim between two different things on Rosh Chodesh. Can a person offer a shiduch in this time? The halacha brings down in Seif Bet, and the Magen Avraham says it clearly in Seif Katan Yud, that it's allowed to be Osek in Shiduchim. If you know somebody that you could help get a Shiduch, definitely it's Davar HaMutar until Tisha B'Av. But the Ben Ish Chai says that from Rosh Chodesh, one needs to be, one should not deal with Shiduchim. So we have the minhag that the Magen Avraham says to be mekel with shiduchim completely. That's something that's mutar, to be a second shiduchim and to offer shiduchim. Ben Ish Chai says again to restrict from Rosh Chodesh. What about if shiduch was just finalized, you want to make a seuda, you want to make a meal? That's something that's brought down in the same Magen Avraham that one should not do from Rosh Chodesh. Until Rosh Chodesh, it's mutar to do such a meal and to have l'chaim and whatever it is and to make a whole meal. But once Rosh Chodesh Av starts, one needs to restrict those seudot unless on the gathering, they only offer some simple things, cakes and all kind of fruits. That is fine. As long as it's not a whole meal, such a thing would be fine even after Rosh Chodesh. From Yudzayin Betamuz, we said that Ashkenazim don't get married. This is even for somebody that didn't ever get married before. Even more so, somebody that's his second marriage. Such a thing should be asur, and therefore, even a second marriage, one needs to restrict from Yudzayin Betamuz according to Ashkenazim. The only thing they could allow if somebody wants to return his grusha, the lady that he divorced before, if they want to get back together, such a thing would be mutar. So this summarizes the inyanim of getting married. Now, when you come to buy new things, you say shechiyanu on those items. And normally, clothing and things like that are chashuv like that, you would say shechiyanu, but the Shulchan Aruch brings down in the end of the siman Tavkuf Nun Aleph, טוב להיזהר מלומר שהחיינו בין המצרים על פרי או מלבוש. One should not say שהחיינו on this time on פרי and מלבוש. Because how are you going to say שהחיינו וכימן והגיענו? לזמן הזה, we are so happy we reached this time. This time you can't be happy. It's a time of פורענות. It's a time that we don't want to have such a time. And therefore, how could you say such a thing? The halacha says that one should not say שהחיינו right now. Unless it's something that it's either now or you lose the Shechianu. Like, for instance, in Pidyon HaBen, that you only have the chance right now to say Shechianu. So then the Shulchan Aruch says, one can say, also the Ramah brings down, if you have a fruit, that's a new fruit, and if you're not going to say it now, it's going to get spoiled. So it's either now or you lose it. But the Ramah says that one could say Shechianu on such a thing. What about if somebody bought something and he wants to wear it for the first time, and we just said he can't because you can't say Shechianu, but can you wear it on Shabbat? We found on that a machloket. According to the Arizal, one should not say Shechianu even on Shabbat. And it's not only the Arizal opinion, this is how the Chida brings down Kaf HaChaim or Letzion, that one should not say Shechianu even on Shabbat. But if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, he brings down not to be machmir on Shabbat. He says in the Mishnah Berurah, al ken b'Shabbat en leachmir b'zeh. One is allowed to say shechianu on Shabbat because it's already a chumrah, not saying shechianu during this time. As we explained before, there's no gemarot anything about Yudzayin v'Tammuz on until Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, this thing over here is a machloket. Should you say shechianu even in a weekday? According to the Gra, one is allowed to say shechianu even on a weekday. But if you're going to be machmir, like the Shulchan Aruch says, comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, that should apply only that chumrah for a weekday, but not for Shabbat. Once you reach Shabbat, one is allowed to say shechianu. That's how he writes over here. But we said that according to the Arizal, one shouldn't even say on Shabbat shechianu. Those that want to say, want to allow, want to feel lenient, like the Mishnah Berurah brings down, to say shechianu on Shabbat, the Riva says you can't say that shechianu if you accept Shabbat early. Now in the summer, many people accept Shabbat early. So therefore, you want to wear the new suit that you just bought. You want to say shechianu, you're going to shul early. Can you say shechianu? The Riva says no. But Rav Nissim Karelitz writes that if you're wearing it for the honor of Shabbat, you could say shechianu, although it's not Shabbat yet. You're just wearing it for the honor of Shabbat and you're going to shul. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said that it depends if you accepted Shabbat or didn't accept Shabbat yet. Although we're talking about the time that's an extension, that's not Shabbat yet. That's called the Tosefet Shabbat, which means before Shabbat. If you accepted Shabbat on the Tosefet Shabbat, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you could say shechianu. The only thing that you shouldn't is when you're wearing it before you accepted Shabbat. One then needs to be careful. There is a machloket. What is the problem with the shechianu? Do we say that shechianu is because whatever you're wearing at that time, you're saying the shechianu, we explained before that it's man puranut, you can't say shechianu, Magen Avraham says, because it's not a time of shechianu, or because of a simcha, not because of this time, it's a time of puranut, because whenever you say shechianu, it indicates simcha. This is how the Gra explained that those that are machmir, the machmir, because of a simcha. Now, whenever you buy something and you want to wear it, and you can't say wear it because of shechianu, are you allowed to go ahead and buy such a thing? Or you can't even buy anything because it's asur to buy right now? We found, again, according to Ashkenazim, according to Sfaradim, you'll be able to buy until Rosh Chodesh Av. But we found a machloket. Do we say that really the only reason we can't buy something right now is because you're going to have to say shechianu, and therefore you can't say shechianu, so you shouldn't buy? This is some of the poskim bring like that. For instance, the Shiurei Knesset HaGdola brings such an idea. But Eliyahu Rabba says that that's not the reason. The reason you can't buy anything is because of the simcha, not because you're going to have to say shechianu. Nafka mina between them. The difference between them is, can you buy something now and wear it on Shabbat? If you're saying that you can't buy, as Eliyahu Rabba explains, because it brings you simcha, and therefore even if you say shechianu in a permissible way, you still can't buy it. But according to the opinion that we said, that the only reason you can't buy is because you can't say shechianu in this time. So therefore, if you're buying and you're wearing it on Shabbat, such a thing would be permitted. And therefore, according to Ashkenazim, the minhag is not to buy, as Moshe says, right now, not to buy those things. But when we're talking about not buying clothing, we're talking about important clothing, like, for instance, suits, shirts, things that have chashivut. But if you're buying just socks or things, undershirt, things that don't have such a chashivut, such a thing would be mutar to buy now and mutar to buy after Rosh Chodesh as well, because it doesn't have any chashivut. Some allowed to buy forks and knives and things like that. Doesn't have chashivut. Any small things like that don't cost a lot, don't bring you simcha when you buy it, it's not necessarily restricted to buy such a thing. When we come to shaving, we said another machloket Sfaradim and Ashkenazim is, can you start shaving? Do you restrict shaving from Yudzayin v'Tammuz? Ashkenazim don't shave and don't take a haircut from Yudzayin v'Tammuz. Sfaradim can do it until Shavua Shechal Bo, the week of Tisha B'Av, starting from Motzei Shabbat. What includes in shaving? So the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch is Echad Ben Se'ar Rosho, Ben Se'ar Kol Gufo, which means any place in the body you can shave. The only thing you're allowed to shave is, or cut, is a mustache if it's disturbing you from eating. So then it would be mutar until the Shavua Shechalbo. Until then, one that sees that his mustache is disturbing his eating is mutar to cut it off. Otherwise, you can't shave according to Ashkenazim from Yudzayin Betamuz on. Now, does this apply to ladies as well? According to Ashkenazim, there is a machloket if ladies also are restricted. Some say that also ladies are restricted from shaving. And Moshe Feinstein writes that really Meikar HaDin should be allowing it, because we found even in Ilchot Avelut, although the Rama is machmir over there for ladies with that in the time of Avelut, but since you have the Shulchan Aruch that's matir after she finished the Avelut, it doesn't go afterwards. So therefore we hear that it's more kal, one is allowed really Meikar HaDin to allow such a thing. This is how Moshe Feinstein writes. And unless a lady really doesn't need, so don't shave and don't cut the hair. But really, Meikar HaDin, he says that we could allow such a thing, and therefore you would find such a kula for a woman that she would be allowed to shave, let's say, the legs in order shelotit gane al ba'ala. A woman that goes to a girl that goes on shiduchim, she also needs to fix her hair. She would be allowed to do that since there's a need. And also, the Nita Gavriel says that if a woman needs to cut the sheitel at this time, she would be allowed to cut the sheitel as well. So the restriction of women, according to that, doesn't come out so strong. Sfaradim definitely have much more leniency, although we're talking about very few days of Oni Shavua Shechalbo, but according to Sfaradim, it's much more lenient for ladies, because even in Ilchot Avelut, a lady could shave and could cut her hair after the Avelut is finished, and it doesn't go after that. Therefore, in this time of Ben HaMetzarim, and even in Shavua Shechalbo, Or Letzion says that it doesn't apply all those things. Now, the very common thing that everybody agrees that one needs to be careful in this time is what the Shulchan Aruch says in the end of the Siman, and that is to be very careful in this time. Tzarich lizeher miyudzayin betamuz at tisha b'av shelo lelech yechidi me'arba shot at tesha shot. One should not walk alone, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, between the fourth hour of the day and the ninth hour of the day. And also lo yaku atalmidim b'yamim ha'yam. Don't hit the children in this time. By the way, today nobody hits his children, but the question would come, if a person needs to make a certain operation, can he go for an operation on this time from Yudzayin Betamuz? That those that felt that you shouldn't go to do any operations right now, because it's not any difference from that we saw, that lo yaku atalmidim, you can't hit your children, you can't hit your students, and therefore you can't go to things that are equivalent to that, and that is to make all kind of operation, a person that needs to have a major work on his teeth, all kind of implants, maybe should be restricted that time. This is how the Alichot Olam, Chacham Ovadia, says that one should be careful in this time. If he doesn't need to do it, push it for a different time. But Moshe writes, in Mishmeret Moshe, he brings down, that could be that it's different than Lo Yaku Talmidim, because over there it's done in order to punish them, in order to hurt them. But when it's done willingly for a person going there and trying to fix his teeth, such a thing, not necessarily that it would be asur, and you could allow it according to his opinion. Another thing that we found in Machloket, in that is, can a person go right now to all kind of trips, places that really, throughout the year you don't have time to go, and now it's the summer and it's vacation and people go to such trips. So there are those that felt that one should not go to any trips in this time, as we found in Rav Chaim Falaji, and it's the Chemed that writes that asu askama v'takana b'kuach Torahtenu HaKdoshah, they made the askama and takana that from Yudzayin Betamuz until Tisha B'Av, Nobody should go wandering around and going to trips in the Kanot to Pardesim, all kind of gardens, all kind of places, and one needs to be careful with that. Lemaaseh, the poskim achonim say that today is the minhag to be mekel, and as long as one is careful, he could go to all kind of trips, as long as it's not dangerous trips. Also, those that want to go to the ocean or they want to go to the pool, it's also bimutar, as Ohr Letzion brings down, and also Moshe Feinstein, that one is allowed to go to such places. He writes in the Masoret Moshe that Moshe felt that for kids, definitely you don't have to be machmir on them, especially in the camps. They have to keep them entertained, and they're not even in the age of chinuch. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that there's two reasons to be machmir on little kids. What are they? Either because of chinuch, or because of agmat nefesh. Chinuch means it's trying to educate them that this is the time that we restrict all kind of things. And that is only from the age of chinuch, as we explained before, going around 6-7. But there are those that feel that you shouldn't because of a different reason. Because agmat nefesh, when you see that the kid is noega velut, so there is a certain bad feeling that the person gets, certain feeling of anguish that a person gets when he sees the kids that are restricted as well with these things. Lemaaseh, the Shaar HaTzion brings both things. The Prima Gadim says, Halakha is like the opinion of Chinuch. Therefore, all these things that we're saying over here, it would be Asur only from the age of Chinuch on. But when they're younger than that, it's Mutar. So therefore, definitely, a kid could go to the ocean, and a kid could those that restrict shaving from Yudzayin Bet Amuz. For kids, you could allow such a thing. Is under the age of chinuch, there's no reason to be machmir on the kids. But a place that is dangerous right now, every year we hear very terrible stories. One needs to be very careful. The Makor Chaim says that a person should not go to all kind of neharot, which means rivers. So if you go to a safe place, we said that is fine. But when you go to something that could be a little bit dangerous, one needs to be very careful at this time. Overall, to keep in mind that from Yudzayin Betamuz until Rosh Chodesh, most of the things are mutar. Rosh Chodesh is when we see that things actually start pumping up and getting more restricted. But we just summarize more or less. Anybody that wants to hear this, we have it online. We have it on all this shiur. So a person could keep in mind of every halakha and follow exactly to the halakha the way it is.